Welcome to SCOTUScast, Racial Gerrymander and Congressional Standing Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 23, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Whitman v. Person-Hubala. In 2012, the Virginia State Legislature adopted a redistricting plan that altered the composition of the 3rd Congressional District by increasing the percentage of African-American voters in the district. In 2013, a number of 3rd District residents sued state election officials, arguing that the district was racially gerrymandered in violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. A 3-judge district court agreed and held the redistricting plan to be unconstitutional, but the U.S. Supreme Court vacated that judgment and remanded the case for reconsideration in light of its intervening decision in Alabama Legislative Black Caucus v. Alabama. On remand, the district court again held that the redistricting plan was unconstitutional and ordered the Virginia General Assembly to devise a remedial plan. When the Assembly did not do so, the court devised its own remedial plan and ordered election officials to implement it. 10 members of Congress from Virginia, interveners in the district court below, appealed its rejection of the 2012 plan to the Supreme Court, alleging various errors in the district court's reasoning. By a vote of 8-0, the Supreme Court dismissed the appeal. Writing for a unanimous court, Justice Breyer indicated that the interveners lacked standing to pursue their appeal. To discuss the case, we have Derek Muller, who is Associate Professor of Law at Pepperdine University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Muller.
So the case started with a bang, but it ended with a whimper and a promise of a sequel to come. The Supreme Court considered a long-standing battle over the boundaries of Virginia's 3rd Congressional District. There was a finding in a 3-judge lower court that the district was drawn with improper racial intent, and as a result, the judicial panel drew a new map and enacted a new plan that shifted some boundaries around and affected other individuals running for Congress in the state of Virginia. So on appeal, a handful of members of Congress, former and present members, challenged whether or not this was actually an improper racial gerrymander, that is, that the district was drawn with this improper racial intent, or whether the district was simply drawn to protect incumbents and primarily for other permissible reasons, and they wanted the old plan enacted by the Virginia legislature to be put back into place. But early on, there were signs that this case might run into a procedural problem. First, the court asked for additional briefing as to whether or not any of the parties had standing to raise the issue on appeal before the Supreme Court, or whether or not the Supreme Court should just throw the case out. Additionally, there was a hint that the court was not going to be very favorable to the appellants, because there was a chance to sort of freeze the maps in place until the case had been heard, and the Supreme Court decided not to freeze the maps or to use the old maps. Instead, the new maps that the new judicial panel had created would be the ones that would control the primary and the November 2016 general election. So given all that, there were already some hurdles facing the appellants. So who was left in this case that created the standing problem? Well, after the 3-judge district court panel decided the issue against the state of Virginia, the Board of Elections, the Virginia Board of Elections decided not to appeal the case. They decided, you know what, we understand. Maybe we fought this case as hard as we can, but we're just simply not going to appeal it. We're going to sort of take the maps that the district court's going to give to us, and that'll be that. But there were a handful of members of Congress whose lines were affected by these changes who wanted to appeal the case to the Supreme Court and have that challenge heard. So when it came up to the Supreme Court, there were only these interveners left who had participated a little bit in the case below, and now we're trying to have the Supreme Court overturn the decision. But by this point in time, there were problems as to whether or not any of these interveners had the kind of concrete injury that would be required for the Supreme Court to hear the case. The Constitution permits only cases and controversies to be heard, which the Supreme Court has for many years now said requires some kind of concrete injury, an actual injury, a lot of terms that go along with that. But the long story short, the court looked at who was left in this case and said that there simply wasn't anyone left to intervene and appeal to the Supreme Court. And so in a unanimous opinion written by Justice Breyer, the court looked at this case and said, of the people who are left, we simply don't understand how anybody has standing before us. Of the 10 interveners who are here, Three now are saying that they have standing, and the other seven sort of concede that they don't have standing to hear the case. One of them says, well, it was my old district, and I've now filed to run in a new district, and if you redrew the boundaries of the old district the way the Virginia legislature had done, I might go back and run in that race sometime, but I'm not running in that race this year. And the Supreme Court said that's simply not the kind of concrete and particularized injury. You are running in a different district, and so whatever happened in that old district of yours no longer affects you. Additionally, there were a couple of members of Congress who said, well, when this new enacted plan was put in place, they drew some districts and they affected things that meant more Democratic voters would be in our districts, and we're Republicans, and we think that's going to diminish our chances of reelection, and so therefore we have been really injured by the decision below that has redrawn these lines. And the court looked and said, well, you know what, we actually don't see very much evidence here of that. We can't find anything in the briefs. We don't see enough evidence to suggest that you have put forth some case suggesting that you have been injured in this particular case. The court says, given the lack of evidence, we're just going to throw this case out. And so what could have been an opportunity for the Supreme Court to examine racial motivation, racial intent, the complicated cases of racial gerrymanders, and a whole host of other issues that had arisen and had not been decided by the court in several years, actually, all went away with this case. There is a promise that perhaps the court will revisit this issue in the very near future. Just a couple of weeks ago, the court accepted a case called Bethune-Hill versus Virginia State Board of Elections, also a racial gerrymandering claim, also out of the state of Virginia, also appealing a decision from a three-judge district court panel. And so now perhaps next October term, perhaps with a newly reconstituted Supreme Court, we might have another opportunity to reexamine what the contours of a racial gerrymandering claim might look like. But in the case of Whitman versus Person Habala, there was simply nobody left for the Supreme Court to think that they had the ability to hear this case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.